cats got back today. Them wild eyed boys that had been away haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
You like fight all the bosses. You rap against bosses because they all have to take a shit at the same gas station.
They all must have eaten the same shit that Dylan eats every day.
They're like, "All right, let's rap for it," and you have to like beat them in a rap battle.
What they should have said is, "Let's crap for it."
That's what they should have said.
They have though.
They should have. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring a uniquely face value view on horror movies. This is our next listener submitted episode. Also happens to be our 100th episode.
Devin, put some energy into that.
Yeah, whoa! Come on, dude.
Episode 100.
Whoa!
We did it. We're here, boys.
Reverb.
What do you guys feel about that? How do you guys feel about this 100th? Let me get...
End it now.
Yeah. God. We'll get there in a second. We are going to talk about Lord of Tears. Speaking of End It Now, Curse of the Demon from 1957 and Hush, which is recent, maybe this year, I believe. I'm Devin here with the co-host. And again, yeah, how do you guys feel about this 100th episode, starting with you, Mr. Blutster?
Terrible. I hate it. I'm going to use this moment as to, you know, to stand up on my podium and tell you all that I hate you all so much.
Feelings mutual, dude.
And that I've regretted every second of this cast.
It's taken this long just to let us know.
He was waiting for that big 100.
No, JK, I love you boys. I'm not feeling in full form. So if the listeners out there, if you hear me sneezing and coughing, it's because I got sick from the weekend where I didn't sleep at all.
But that weekend, oh, Dad.
Speaking of that weekend, we did something pretty interesting and fun, didn't we, Dylan?
Yes, we did. We got back from what was at least my first HorrorCon.
Me too.
I think most of ours. And Manton didn't go.
Thank God.
But we went to Horror Hound in Indianapolis, and my fucking God, did I love it.
Your horror pounded me.
No.
Nice.
but I just had such a fucking blast, like, seeing all of the booths and, like, the incredible art and just, like, realizing these are my people. You guys fucking rule in this community. I love you all. And if we're getting any listeners from there, welcome. I hope that our 100th episode is, you know, okay.
That's a good point, that it is okay, but also that I hope we do have some listeners from that. Thanks for joining us. I said that last episode. Hopefully we do get some new ones, and I hope you enjoy the ride. Manton, how did you enjoy your ride in Seattle the past few weeks?
Seattle past was freaking awesome.
It wasn't a few weeks.
No.
It was like 10 days, okay. So it was almost 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
I got really, really sick the other day, so like I couldn't go with them to the horror convention, which was really sad. So I'm still kind of getting over it. Same thing with Brandon. Like, I'm going to try my best not to cough.
Now I've got it.
But yeah, Seattle was awesome. I don't really have much horror-related stuff to talk about. I really wish I did. I was hoping something really scary would happen while I was there.
You're at PAX, right?
Yeah, I was at PAX. It's like a video game convention. Pretty much the biggest one outside of E3. And it was really cool. Surprisingly, I ended up telling a lot of people about this podcast. And I was like telling Brandon today, we need fucking business cards or something.
No doubt.
Yeah, we thought about that.
I told so many people about it, and I'm like, God, I hope they listen to it, you know, but...
The people were so fucking receptive, though. Like, everybody that we were handing out, I should say, my girlfriend was handing things out to. None of us were doing
Thank
anything.
Thank you, Megan. You were a savior. Yeah.
But, like, everybody she was handing these flyers out to was just super receptive and super
awesome.
Nice. And, like, it was just incredible to meet other people who love this shit like
so,
we do.
I don't know about the listeners, but I would love to hear about this convention. I wanted to ask you guys about it, but I was like, you know what? Let's save it for the cast. I want to hear about this awesome con.
And true caster fan. Well, I only went for one day, and I know Devin and Matt and the other group were going all 3 days, and I wasn't even that excited to go, honestly. I mean, a full disclosure.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
I thought it was just going to be hang out with these old movie stars and pay to get their signature and, you know, tell them how much you love them.
I mean, to be fair, there was that.
There was that. There was that.
That was new to me. I didn't know that you had to pay for those signatures. I was excited to fucking, like, grind up on David Arquette.
Well,
and
why ask these people? Not. They wouldn't come to fucking Indiana for any reason.
No,
other than
right.
That's the only reason I would come to Indiana.
Yeah. But there was so much more. Like, we went to this one area. It was just all these people displaying masks that they've made.
God damn, I was wet
as fuck for that. Oh, I was juicy. You can literally buy them, you know, wear them to whatever. They had people with really obscure movies. I had a guy with the booth give me a full review of Demons 2.
That Blu-ray, I want
to
get that.
And now I know I need to watch it. It sounds raw. And we almost got our friend Emo to buy the Black Phillip mask.
Fuck, I wish he'd pulled the trigger on that.
It awesome. Looked too real. I got fucking night terrors.
I was just, it was incredible awesome. Seeing like all this, like, in, like I was thinking about it afterwards and I was trying to explain it to somebody who doesn't go to horror cons, who's never been. I was like, it's kind of like an art fair, but for like people who are into our shit. And like, yeah. I was amazed by just the level of artistry with everything. Like,
yeah, no joke. They didn't just let any random scrub in there. Every single person there was incredible. Obscenely talented.
Yeah.
So when we talked about like one day getting a booth, do you think that our shit
could fit
in? Oh, fuck
no, dude. What are we gonna put like an iPad up there and just Devin, like play an episode?
Devin had a great idea for this.
I did have a great idea, but you're going to have to remind me of what this idea
oh
was.
My gosh. Okay, well, Devin in true form had lots of alcohol on hand in big gulps and
big gulps.
Yeah, we're gonna sell PBRs. We're gonna fucking go in with coolers and sell dollar PBRs.
But no. This is what we were thinking.
Actually,
so
it wasn't my idea, but now it might be.
Obviously, bitch, it might be. But if you've seen our artwork, you know that we've got some friends who are very talented.
Right.
And kind of what we were thinking about doing is giving them like a platform to display that. Obviously, it's not ours because we're talentless hacks. But our friends are talented, and for whatever reason, they like this show.
All we can do is ride off the coattails of more talented people.
And so I think we should do some prints for them and let them set up with us.
I did like that idea. Oh, I guess it was my idea. Whatever.
Hey, good job, dude.
You liked your own idea? Let's hear it, Devin.
But no, that would be fun. But sorry, I got to interrupt and talk about something that happened the last day. You weren't there, I guess, for this part.
Oh,
but
no.
I handed out a flyer to this girl, and I was like, you should listen to this podcast, the Horrible Podcast. She's like, oh, my God. I listen to this every day. This is so great.
Oh,
she was
fuck,
like,
what?
She was like, last podcast on the left. And I was like, I'd be so excited for
damn
a
it.
Second.
Wait, what? You told her the name and it wasn't even close.
She wouldn't even listen to me. I think she was assumed.
Devin, if you're listening now, we're better.
Hey, we're better than your last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
That's fucking better. Let's start some beef.
Yeah, right. They're so good. Those guys are so professional. They've been doing it for so long. But we did get some good reception, though. I think the first person we handed out our podcast to flyers to actually said they listened to it.
Literally the first person, yeah.
Do you think they were lying?
Maybe.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, let's be honest.
That was probably their very social way of saying, like, you know, hey, thanks for the flyer, and I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I'm never
going
to listen to this. Goodbye.
To be fair, though, like, all the people that we met were incredible. I can't stop stating that because, like, I was just blown away by how nice everybody is.
Right.
Especially shout out to our boy Icy Jones on Twitter, a.k.a. Patrick O., who we got to meet and who was just, like, the coolest fucking dude.
It's also cute.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, Booster, just saving those.
Yeah, he's married, dude.
Until now,
I was too nervous to tell him in person, but you know, hey, if you're listening, you got a smooth face.
Wow.
But yeah, I do appreciate that he came prepared. He was ripping me as we met, and then as soon as he left, he was like, "Hey, I'm doing some Sunday shopping," and he sent me a picture of some raisins. Fuck. I'm like, "Rest in piss, you bastard."
Just showed up ripping you and left ripping you.
That's perfect.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
When I met him, he pulled out this vinyl that I've been wanting. I've been fucking gushing over for fucking years, if not, you know, months, if not years, to you guys. But he pulled out the Candyman soundtrack vinyl and he was like, hey, do you want this? I was like, yes, I want this. Are you kidding me?
And so, it's beautiful.
It was just a blast hanging out with him all day. And man, I already miss you. So thanks for
miss you, buddy.
Meet us.
But yeah, silly me thinking I could show up to this and not spend money. But of course, as soon as we walk around for 20 minutes, it's like, oh boy.
Conventions are just like, you can't help yourself.
Well, it's just like, there's so much cool stuff. They're like, hey, do you like this one niche thing? We've got all of it.
You know
have
what?
Fun.
Yeah. If we're giving shout out to Nathan Milliner from our own city of Louisville. He's a fucking talented artist. Yeah. And I bought a couple of prints from him. He happened to know my roommate who's into the horror art scene too. His name is Dick Starr. That's his artist name. But
that's his real name too, right?
It's not his real name. It's his artist name. But But Nathan Milliner actually does Blu-ray releases.
Yeah, the Burning, Halloween 3 show.
Halloween 3 and stuff like that. So like he's really good. Yeah, he's that good. So check out Nathan Milliner. I don't know. Check all these guys out.
London 1888. I'm wearing his shirt right now. It's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Like so many good artists that we met there. Just awesome. Yeah.
And these conventions, I think they tend to be around the Midwest quite often. I know there's been some in Cincinnati and stuff. I think the next one might be in Cincinnati in March. But the fact of the matter is, moral of the story is, we'll probably be at a few more of these, hopefully, in the new
future. I can't wait. Yeah, I just want to go to every con. Now.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's within a reasonable driving distance, come out and see us. We'll be at them, I hope so, from now on. And hopefully next time with a booth, Manton. I don't know, will you came to that idea?
I would love to. That's like a dream to me. Is like, I love like sharing my love with other people.
For
like
sure.
That is exactly what I would want to do, is have a booth at one of these things. So I think we will do it eventually.
I think we will too. And I did notice... that a few of the booths literally did have dudes with coolers next to them and like koozies with PBR cans in them. Like they would just sit back and like crush PBRs all day.
I would rather spend my day there than anywhere else.
Yes, that would be us. We'd just be drinking beers all day at the booth with some artwork and some prints and stuff and hopefully some business cards and whatnot. But yeah, come on out, guys, and join us. We spent a lot of time talking about that, but we got to talk about how this is our Patreon episode. Meaning our subscribers for $6.66 gave us these movies to watch. These have been gifted to us by our listeners. Again, those films are Lord of Tears, Curse of the Demon, and Hush. If you subscribe to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/horriblepodcast, you can get a film on that queue. You get a subscribe $6.66. Also, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Add us there. Rate us if you will, and email and Twitter. Those are the best ways to reach us. We need some emails still to fill up our inbox again, boys. We miss you, boys and girls. Send us some emails. We'll read them off on our episodes. And Twitter is at HorribleCast. HorriblePodcast@gmail.com is our email. We'll get right into our first film. I say right into it, but we just talked for
right into
30
it.
Minutes. But we'll talk about one that was... I have a load of tears.
Are we doing that first?
I don't know. Do you
No, save it a second.
We'll save
that's,
that.
That's going to be the bulk.
Let's do a little sandwich.
Yeah. Shit sandwich.
Curse of the Demon. We'll go with first. Curse of the Demon from 1957. Do we have that listed of who has given that to us and
how?
Yeah,
we do.
So Dylan wants to go ahead and give us that synopsis and also let us know who...
Yeah, this is from Lil Ray. Lil Pugs, please. Lil Rachel, who's been on the cast a couple of times as a replacement, a better half of Devin, basically. Mm-hmm. She's just the better version.
Wait, why am I part of...
She replaced you. She's the better version. She's our talented artist who did our logo and everything. And she suggested this one, I guess, because it was like a childhood favorite or something, or she'd seen it.
Yeah, she said she hadn't seen it in like 12 years. Yeah. So she saw this when she was pretty young.
Yeah. So Curse of the Demons from 1957. It's directed by the same guy who did Cat People, which I didn't realize until about halfway through the movie, but it makes a ton of sense. It's one of my faves.
I'm more of a dog guy myself.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
Cat's Jesus. The worst.
God
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry.
God damn it.
Keep going.
All right.
I actually derailed him.
Got it. You finally did it.
There's cat people and there's dog soldiers from what I've heard.
That's good stuff.
So
good stuff. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So anyway, this movie starts with an older gentleman kind of driving pell-mell to a dude's house, and he arrives there, and the guy is Mr. Cars.
Mr. Cars.
Lightning McQueen from Cars.
Well, it's apt because he drove in a car to meet Mr. Car. So.
Damn it. Fuck.
Mr. Bicycle. Fuck.
It's
Mr.
like
Cars.
Carlo or Carlisle.
It's not Carlo, but let's call him Carlo. So Mr. Carlo.
Carlos.
is this like kind of eccentric dude with a goatee, so you know he's bad. He meets this guy and says, you know, like, I won't call it off. And you don't know exactly what he's referring to, but this guy, you know, goes home. On his way home is chased by a fucking demon through the woods, which causes him to accidentally kill himself. And we follow up with a man named Dr. Holden, who is coming to England to investigate this death of his friend who had just died, and meets that guy's niece. Is it right?
Yep.
Meets his niece on the airplane, and they start to hit it off. He and a couple of other people kind of start investigating Carswell, right? I think that's it. Carswell.
Sure.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
Sure.
They start investigating Carswell, this kind of enigmatic cult leader, basically, with the goatee, who introduces himself, and he's pretty friendly to Holden, and may or may not have passed a curse on to him that will have this demon coming to kill him in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And so it's all a matter of getting Holden, who is incredibly, incredibly cynical and like refuses to believe anything supernatural, to believe that, yeah, a demon's going to kill you in about 3 days. And he starts to believe more and more as things become clearer and clearer that he's been cursed by a demon.
Yeah, that's like his whole thing. That's a huge crux of the movie, is that Holden is a huge skeptic. He's a man of science. And, you know, one of the first things this car boy does, or whatever his name is, Carmen, Carmen says to him is
Carmen San Diego?
He is kind of, he's like, you know what, you know, I'm an eccentric guy. There's nothing wrong with me. You don't need to investigate me, dude. And he insists, he's like, I'm going to come after you. And so he hands him some things, and quickly everyone's, you know, telling him, hey, you've been cursed, dude. And he's like, that's bullshit. And so everyone else throughout the whole movie is trying to convince him.
Mm-hmm. Something that I really liked about this movie is, despite the fact that Mr. Cardigan has like a like a long villainy goatee,
he's so charming.
He's a very nice dude, and they he go to some extremes to show you how nice he is. Like,
that's true.
The second time we ever see him, he's putting on a clown show, show for a bunch of children. You're like,
it's really
how
cute.
Can he's this guy nice be dude. Bad? And he's really not part. Bad, exactly.
He was handing out puppies to these children.
Oh, I mean, he's handing out so many puppies.
How could you be any more awesome?
I mean, this guy is like, he's just, he could have played it as like a, you know, deep menacing kind of Aleister Crowley type, but instead he pulls this like kind of weird, disarming sort of thing where like you kind of want to be his friend. He's mm-hmm. he's a nice dude.
He's almost like a, I don't know what the word is, but he like gives back to the community. He seems mm-hmm. like a nice guy. He brings people in and takes care of them, like especially kids. I don't know, he's like very philanthropic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has he been in other movies? Mr. Car Talk, I
yeah,
thought like,
he's,
was pretty.
Mr. Car Talk.
I like this.
Good presence on screen.
He's in the, I think he's in Lawrence of Arabia and like Hamlet and shit.
Okay.
Yeah, he's,
what does he think?
I think
he's good?
A pretty strong presence.
Yeah. He's great. I think, and in general, I would say across the board, the acting in this movie is surprisingly very good.
It is good, yeah.
It holds up really well.
Well, you guys know that I have a problem with chin.
Yes, I know you do.
You know, strong character man, big man that drinks whiskey every night and it's his nightcap and he's good. But in this movie, I do want to say that I appreciate that he wasn't just the all-knowing badass. He was actually the one that was not in the know. Everyone else,
Holden, you mean?
Yeah, Holden, our main guy. Yeah.
I like him a lot, and I think he could have easily fallen into that like trap that you're talking about.
Yeah, he could have just been a piece of shit.
And he kind of is that, but they play off of it really well, and that everybody else is like, dude, come on, ease up a little bit. Like, you're actually cursed. We're trying to help you here. And he's like, no.
I think it's that he's not... Everyone else understands it, and he doesn't. Right. I think that's what kind of helps him stay more humble.
Yeah.
They kind of work around the trope of the time, which is hilarious.
He's not super identifiable, but like his plight kind of is. And I think the acting job that the main guy does is really good.
No, absolutely.
I think that the interactions between him and Cardamom are really good because like they're constantly... They have this dynamic where like Cardamom seems like he's always the nice guy of the two.
Right.
That he almost makes our main character look like a dick because there's a lot of situations where the villain is like, "Look, dude, like I'm sorry that you're a curse, but I really do have magic powers." And then he'll show him he'll show him like a magic power, and then he's like, "No, I don't believe it." He's like, "Man, I'm sorry, you don't believe it, dude. I'm sorry."
And he's also like he's offered to take the curse off of him.
Right.
He's like, "You just gotta believe."
He's like, our main character breaks into his house at one point, and he's like, "Oh, hey, man, what's up? Oh, you should really watch out for my cat. You know, he's a little mean sometimes. I'm sorry you broke into my house, but you can see yourself out now."
That's
if you
so
want.
Funny. I didn't even.
He's just so nice, constantly.
It is overwhelming. He's like killing him with kindness.
But what works about Dr. Card Game or whatever is that like the people around him like kind of know that he's nefarious, and the things that they say kind of offhanded about what he's actually into, especially in this like scene where they're hypnotizing this guy and he's revealing what the guy's done. He's actually pretty bad. Like it just doesn't come across because he's so disarmingly charming.
I don't know. That's one thing Carbad that I kind of missed about him is that they. They are constantly reminding you that he's like a cult leader, like literally controls people.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish they'd given us a little of that. Like,
sure.
I think it would have taken from his presence and his kind of aura that he has.
Right.
But I feel like they could have fleshed him out.
You get
a
bits
more.
Of it like after the seance scene where he like pulls his mother into the car pretty violently. He's like, get back. Like,
that's true.
And like, I mean, he has moments where he dips into darkness. But speaking of that seance scene, I fucking love it.
It's really funny.
It's
actually.
So fucking funny. And like the humor in this. Works. It's kind of Hitchcockian, like, and I get a lot of Hitchcock vibes from this movie. And a lot of that is also the fucking camera work in this, like the direction.
Ooh.
Stellar.
I was waiting to bring
really
it up.
Good. In the seance scene, the way that starts out is the medium, this man that shows up is sort
the
of
the small
this,
medium,
this meek, the small medium, and his very very tall wife. And it's just this very like weird situation, and he starts like convulsing, and they're like singing at the table.
It's
and
insane.
It's bizarre.
It's really funny. Like it's very sort of modern humor, especially for that era. It reminded me of watching like a modern
for sure.
horror comedy.
Man, I totally thought you were gonna say it's very Lynch. I don't know. It seems something Lynch would do.
Yeah.
And I mean, this movie just above all feels ahead of its time. In a lot of ways, I think like. One of the things that just kept standing out to me is how good the direction is during scenes where people are talking. Like in a lot of these movies around this time, it's just a fixed camera looking at people talking. And this one, like it moves around the room. It uses the space really well. It never feels kind of stagnant when people are talking.
Right. No, it doesn't. That doesn't mean they don't have like crisp camera work, which I like. But one thing that I want to just highlight quickly is like they placed the camera well and the scenes looked good, but also the way that things would come through the scene, like at the very end, they're in a train station and they have a lot of really good spooks, actually, like stuff that looks like a legit jump scare by today's standards. like you would have these characters on screen, they'd be talking, it's very tense, and then a train would just come rushing by right in front of the camera, and it's like very jolting and actually kind of alarming. And so I love how they just kind of break up the scenes.
Even
like that
and like the sound cues, like the sound cue that comes when the demon is near or whatever is is, it feels like something from like a Carpenter movie or something. It's got like
hell.
It's a really like kind of creaky, like pickling. What the fuck am I saying? I don't know. Like a picking
like
a violin.
When you're pickling, sort
of thing.
Some
you know, when you're pickling something,
and,
you got like some beats in there, and you know.
They start making that little like gaseous bubbly
exactly,
sound.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Devin, you've been really quiet. You want to shit on this movie? Because I think you do.
Oh, is
I
it mean, black and white? I'm
I
sorry.
Shit on it, but I think it's just quite slow and boring. It took me 50 minutes. To see something that was entertaining to me, I guess. And I'm giving a face value of you. There was actually something quite cool in the beginning. There was a cool little demon face.
Demon effects are good.
Really it's all demon. Good. But for an hour and 35 minutes, with only seeing that a couple times, and I wasn't quite as grasped with the characters as you guys were. Cars 2 was great, but I don't know. To me, it was a very standard, dated 1950s horror film, except for the fact that it had some pretty cool effects. But they were so few and far between, I couldn't get into it. And, you know, this is a guy who gave Godzilla a good review, which is predated this, I think, by a few years.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
It's a different movie, though.
It's a different movie, but more happens in it, especially for a horror movie. And for this one, I couldn't get into it. I don't know.
There's definitely some scenes at the end that kind of reminded me of Godzilla. I couldn't remember which one came first, but I could definitely see them watching Godzilla being like, yeah, that's pretty raw. I need to, get on that. So Devin, your main thing is...
I thought it was a kaiju movie as well. I think going into it, I just assumed it was a kaiju movie for some reason.
Well, because they show the demon on the box art and everything. Like, and he looks cool. He looks, he's
a
really well-designed monster.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be a sweet kaiju movie, but I was like, oh.
You get a bit of it.
The effects are definitely inspired by that, I would say. It seems like they are.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end, like, you know, we see the demon a lot, and it's fucking huge. It's not like kaiju size, but you get the sense that
it
is similar effects.
Yeah.
I do like that.
So how big is this hog, though?
Wow, is that what you were... Yeah.
Demon hog. Can't get it off his mind.
See, like, you like at that point, like...
Just like, you know what? This conversation's like, going really well. Let me talk about dicks.
Bluester raised his hand to get the next point, and he said, how big is his hog?
You know what? I will give them this. I think it's important because, like... I'll say this. So
I'm asking
if
hard
I saw
questions
a,
here.
No, he's right. If I saw a giant demon, like goat monster, coming towards
you
me,
would ask
and it
how
had
big
like
is
a tiny, if he had a tiny little acorn cock, I would look at it and I'd be like,
exactly,
is this
wouldn't be
to,
scared.
Is this supposed to scare me?
You need a big smooth member.
Well, you know what? They don't actually focus on it. They cut off the the camera cuts off the dick.
No wonder he's upset.
So he's castrated.
What part of the movie did I miss where the camera cuts off his demon's dick?
It's a really long scene where they just cut this demon's dick off.
Are you saying he's circumcised? Or you saying he's castrated?
Well, now he is.
Ooh.
Jesus Christ.
Woof.
I think it's probably time to
review. That's very
mild. Yeah, I mean, once we get to talking about this demon's hog, it's time to review it.
A+.
I don't have much to say. I'll kick it off. You guys are much higher on this than I am, so I'll just say, to me, it just has all the flaws of a 1950s horror movie that I've seen, in that it has some pretty cool scenes. It's not the worst-looking movie. It looks fine, especially in the Blu-ray copy that we saw, but it's boring. It's very, very boring, except for the couple scenes that I really enjoyed. And I couldn't get into the characters. It's too dated for me. So I'm going to give it a stinker, but I appreciate it. I respect it.
Appreciate
I guess.
You.
But that's that. What do you think, Dylan?
I actually really like this movie, like a lot. I was kind of grabbed from the very beginning because it opens with a bang, really. And like I started noticing like how fucking good the camera work is, how really good the acting is in general, too. And overall, the movie just feels ahead of its time. It feels like something done by somebody who really knew what they were doing, like, I hate to use the word auteur, but like it feels like a director's piece, and it's really fucking good. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was bored a little bit near the middle. It starts to lag a little bit. I'll give you that. But overall, it's just buoyed by the performances and by the camera work. It's an awesome little movie. I like it a lot. Jim
Manton.
I think I probably fall somewhere in, around where Dylan is at, in between Dylan and Devin. I like,
I mean, it's the two
movie.
Extremes. I don't really think you can fall anywhere else.
Well, yeah.
I fall on a plane.
I would say I'm probably right in the middle there, though. It's a pretty cool movie, but I do agree with Devin that like there are a lot of parts that are definitely boring. Towards the middle, you just take a little snooze like I did, and
he fell asleep on the couch, mouth open.
Listen, I was trying so fucking meds, hard. Right? It's because mostly because of the medicine, because I fell asleep during like all these movies at some point. But
boy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. There's a lot to take away that's really awesome. Like, the effects are really fucking cool. I like a lot of the characters. I love Carpool. I don't necessarily love the main character. I think it has the problem that Brandon had brought up last couple of times of the Mr. Strongman character that is just so fucking boring and overdone. I do not care for him at all, but it's a pretty cool little movie. I'm going to give it a very, very light gem.
Blutes, baby.
Kick it off?
No. Well, kick your dick off. Kick your dick off.
Kick my dick off and wrap it up.
And then I wish hand I could. It to the demon because he lost his, apparently.
So before I lose this one, and I can't think of a way to work it in, but I had one last nickname for the guy.
Okay.
It was Cantaloupe.
That's nice. That's not even close.
So not even on the same spectrum.
But anyway.
Chameleon.
I was ready to be bored by this as well, actually. And I think this movie has a lot of the flaws that a movie that's 60 years old has or 50 years old. Like, a lot of the characters are very agreeable. They're very flat. And they have, the men have very large chins and they have big suits and
massive hogs.
Massive.
The men have very large hogs. Like, how did Blue Shirt not just smooth, say cocks or dicks?
Affirmative
right now?
Hogs. But in spite of that, I don't want to say this movie's ahead of its time, but I think that it punches above its weight and above its time period because they were able to circumvent some of those, you know.
You gotta be fucking joking.
You know what, dude? I came in here and I was sick and I wasn't feeling very good at all. But
for some
reason, I'm on point right now, Daddy. The tip of the tongue. But anyway, so they managed to kind of go around some of those problems by, you know, using really interesting camera work and using cool ambient sound, like the sound of trains or the sound of birds or something. And as boring as this movie should be, the plot itself is moving so quickly from place to place that, like, I kind of felt like I was getting bored, but I never wanted to look away because I was like, well, I'm going to miss something. Like, the problem that a lot of these older movies have is that they just have huge scenes where nothing really happens. Right. They're just talking because the movie needs to be so long, and they just need to talk, 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 and the guy needs to, you know, get the girl, and he's going to lay the slab, whatever.
Whatever.
And this movie, he's unraveling this mystery, and they're trying to prove hint to him and the audience that this is real, and so they have lots of stuff going on. And I was constantly engaged. And I want to say that there was a couple scenes that were, like, really tense to me. Yeah. It actually got me a little jumpy because they were so unpredicted with, like, how they were going to scare you, like the little jumps.
That footstep scene in the woods.
Oh, that was great.
That was fucking. That was, I forgot about that.
Really likey.
I also love the jump scare with the kids with the masks. Like, they just come out from behind the tree.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was good.
There's just a lot of things that by modern standards are good. So I'm going to give this movie a gem. Thanks, Ray. I'm very surprised. I like this movie as much as I did.
All right. That's three gems and a stinker for Night of the Demon or Curse of the Demon.
Actually, I think it was called Night of the Demon.
It is Night of the Demon or Curse of the Demon.
But then I want to think of Night of the Demons, which that movie sucks dick. Dicks?
Yes, it does.
What kind of dicks don't? How big are they?
I mean, literally in the movie, there's quite a lot of that happening.
There is. speaking of, we saw, who was it? Lena Quigley? Is that her?
Lena Quigley.
Yeah, she was actually at the festival we were at, which is pretty interesting. She's the one
who puts lipstick in her boob.
Yeah, that's the one, right?
That's the one.
But she was also in Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, which she's naked as fuck in that movie.
She's good in that.
The whole time.
Yeah. We also saw Tom Atkins.
Yep. Tom Atkins was
Tom Atkins. Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy.
Who actually had, like, a lot of people at his booth. I was confused by that.
Yeah.
More than David Arquette.
He actually was advertising his movie. It was Malibu's
Wanted. He's not embarrassed by that like he should be.
He's in Tremors 4, too, I believe.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was it.
Oh, and Tony Todd?
Tony Todd, yeah.
Who you didn't get up to, and our boy didn't.
No, I didn't get up to, but I got off to many a time the weekend.
Did he get up or did you get up?
Well, I got up, and then he got up, and then we both got off.
He went down, and you got up.
And, oh, boy.
And then you sat on it.
But I did go to what was a Candyman panel /Q&A type thing before the weekend ended. And it was great.
So sad.
It was super cool. Tony Todd was an interesting fucking character. I got to be honest. I have to admit that when I read his Twitter, and I hate to say this, but his Twitter's like kind
of
dumb. It's like he retweets a lot of dumb stuff, and he kind
of
says dumb stuff on it. So I was like, oh no, I hope to God that like my idol is like not a dumb dude. And when he went up there and was talking, he was like brilliant, like one of the smartest dudes I've seen at these conventions, which is only one, but he's very smart.
I've been to one convention.
I mean,
he was the smartest guy there.
I was blown away by everybody. Like the only panel I got to see was the Child's Play one, which like made me just watch all those Child's Play movies again. Brad Dourif was fucking great.
That dude was
so cool.
It was super engaging. I don't know, a couple guys in the group were like kind of making fun of it and stuff, but I was pretty entertained.
Yeah, I stayed for the whole thing.
That was cool.
I loved it.
The Candyman one was, I think it was, in my opinion, I liked it more because it's Candyman. It's one of my
movies.
But Bernard, of course, is fucking brilliant. We've talked to him. He's an absolute, like, fucking brilliant dude.
He was there.
And Tony was as well, just as smart. And we also had Xavier, I forget his last name, the guy who played...
Berkeley?
Yeah, Xavier Berkeley was there, who plays the husband of Helen in Candyman. We also had fucking... Ted Raimi, I keep forgetting
he's in that movie.
All four smart dudes, and of course these Q&As, like, they ended up talking about, like, the whole racial issues and stuff that are involved in Candyman. It was just a very, very brilliant,
man,
smart
discussion.
And Tony Todd talked about how that he actually still does gang interventions because so many young black people identify with the character Candyman. So he will go to these and he'll talk to these gangs and like do interventions.
Attaboy,
for that reason. I'm like, that's so cool.
That,
like,
is really cool.
That's really
and
neat.
Yeah, he's just a smart guy, really cool. But not, I don't know. Don't want to segue too much before we get into something way less shitty and way less awesome.
Boys, we can't put it off any longer.
Lord of Tears.
Literally, we can't put it off any longer.
Lord of Tears, which is one that we had an experience with years ago.
Before we started the cast, this was, yeah, I think, the 31 and 31 we did,
yeah,
before
should,
we started doing
tell
the
story
the
about that.
Well, what was the story? I mean, I was very much high on this movie before it came
you
out.
You were so fucking pumped.
I was like, we have to
this.
See
why?
This movie.
Why?
I'll tell you why, because it was being raved about on, like, certain things.
It
like
was. It was getting good,
like,
ass press.
Bloody Disgusting.
Bloody Disgusting.
And what's the other one? Like, Shock Till You Drop.
And not ironically, right?
No, not ironically.
Like,
it was getting great reviews.
Not only that, but, like, it had a really good viral marketing campaign where they had the owlman,
yeah,
creature, like, in an abandoned asylum where people were,
that's
like, going
cool
to explore, and he was, like, spooking people as they were going
right
through.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
It was a really
okay
smart bit of marketing campaign,
right,
and the owlman looked cool.
And
he
does
look cool.
They all had fantastic reviews on it, and I was like, we got to see this Lord of Tears. It's out of fucking what, Scotland?
Yeah,
and
I think so.
And we got everybody together at my apartment, and that
we were so pumped.
You had a huge group.
That
right
remains to be maybe the only film
the
we've
only
had
film we've ever turned
just
off.
Just turned off midway through. That was 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, you guys, we didn't even turn off American Ghost Story when
oh,
we
God
didn't need
we
to watch
stuck
it
through it.
We watched that whole movie when we weren't doing it for the cast.
No, we turned this
we
one
turned
off
this one off only and 20 minutes in.
Again, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was somebody. Excuse me, I think we're all dying on this side,
yeah,
of the cast.
Yeah, it's like
that's what that happens when you go to conventions, man.
God damn, yeah, my voice is going on me too. But we do have a friend who held it to us and said,
Matt,
we cannot get away with this. You will watch this in its entirety.
And when we turn it off, he might have been the only person who was saying, like, guys, we can get through this. Like, we can do this. He was trying to get us to keep it on.
Right, and who was that Bluester? We were there together with him, the guy who gave us this film to watch for our Patreon episode.
This is our good friend, Matt.
Matt Willits.
Matt, you motherfucker.
And yes. I just want to be clear, if you didn't understand Devin, we watch this only because of contractual obligation.
Yep.
We refuse to watch it without him in the room.
Absolutely. I told him, motherfucker, you're watching this too. And he was excited for some reason. Uh-huh. I think he'd forgotten the pain.
He'd been telling us for years. He's like, we're going to watch this for your podcast and I'm going to be there. And I was like, that's never going to happen. But then he found a fucking loophole.
We gave him the in and he did it.
And he's like, I'm fucking paying
God
money.
God damn it.
He went in deep, baby. So... the thing about this movie, okay, is...
It's terrible.
Okay, yeah, let's give a synopsis first.
I'm trying. Okay, so the thing about this movie is it's been years, like these guys have said. We've watched a lot of bad movies. And I actually was going into this thinking, it can't be as bad as we remember.
We were all saying that.
And I was like, you know what, guys? I bet this will even be good.
We've watched so much garbage that it's like...
We've seen Student Bodies. We've seen Thanks Killing.
Right, yeah. How could this be
Leprechaun
worse?
Leprechaun in the Hood.
That's what I thought. So, okay, let's get into the synopsis here. So this movie is based in a country, Scotland, I guess.
Sure, who
whatever,
fucking cares?
Sure. So we have our main character, we'll just call him Baldman.
Handsman.
Baldman.
The man with the hands.
The man with the hands.
I'm so sorry,
hands.
I don't remember his name. But anyway, he's a...
James Finley.
James is an average man living an average life, and...
Everything's
one,
so average.
He starts to... he starts to have these visions of himself being attacked, being followed, and he starts to have kind of this weird presence, like he's being tracked or something. One day
his mom's dead.
His mother passes away and he's called into like whatever their attorney's office and he says, I am going to give you something now that will give you the details about her last will.
Can we just mention the attorney is reading every one of his lines off of every piece of paper that's in that room?
Like, yeah, absolutely. So everything is
does not bode well in the first
a
scene.
Line reading. So anyway, he gives him this piece of paper. It says, you now own your childhood house.
Baldurak.
Baldurak. It sounds like something out of a fucking Dragon Ball Z show or something. or Lord of the Rings. which would be a way cooler movie. We were actually trying to find this, and we were searching on Amazon Video, like, Lord of...
Lord of the Rings
like,
came up.
Lord of the Rings.
Like, let's just watch that.
Lord of Flies. And, you know, we were just like, yeah, those all sound great. And then we had to find this and pay for it. But anyway, so he goes to Baldurac, right? His childhood home, he now has inherited it. And for whatever reason, there's a woman there, and he meets her, and she says, hey, I'm renting a room in the stables. And he's like, hey, I'm getting a room here too. And I'm thinking,
you own this place.
You literally just inherited it. You don't have to get any room. And why is this woman saying, anyway, there's going to be many unanswered questions in this movie. But so he goes in, and the whole point of this visit, I think, as best as I can understand it, is that he wants to uncover the reason for this haunting he's having and this presence he's feeling. And he also notes that when he was a child, there's a period of his youth that he just doesn't remember. For whatever reason.
And so he drew lots of spooky drawings.
He drew lots
of an owl, man.
In typical schlock film fashion, he drew drawings, and they're going to give us some plot. Luckily, it's not as bad. That drawing stuff is
They don't do
bad.
A lot with that, yeah.
But he's trying to uncover the mystery. And, of course, he's such a charming and attractive and sexy and magnetic guy that this young, beautiful young woman that's, for whatever reason, just inexplicably at this house.
Just fucking into him.
She is going to fall in love with him and do the most embarrassing shit to try and woo him. Boys, Lord of Tears.
This movie fucking sucks.
Dylan, that was so eloquent. Can you tell me why it sucks?
Okay, going into this, like, we all were saying, like, this can't be as bad as we remember it. Not but, like, 2 minutes into it, we were like, oh, fuck.
This is worse than I remember.
This is worse. Like, it starts really poorly, and I remember, I think this is why we turned it off in the first place, because we didn't get that far into it before we realized, well, this is shit by any other metric. Like, this is just bad.
Well, yeah, because the way it was played out, or like whatever written about in reviews and stuff, is this wonderful film. But we realized within a good, I don't know, 34 minutes that it's very amateur. It's a very amateur film,
which is not inherently bad.
It's not inherently bad, but it does have all those red flags of like, okay, let's see what they can do with this.
I think the biggest red flag is the sound. Holy fuck.
I do like their honesty. They let you know in the very first scene that it's just dog shit.
The sound mixing in this is like leagues worse than our podcast.
It sounds
even
like
our
they recorded
last episode.
It sounds like they recorded in a bathtub with some kind of like tin can because everyone just sounds tinny. It's like right. You can just like hear all kinds of twangy sounds.
The
sound.
Mixing's all over the place. The music's
too loud.
That's
one red flag, but another red flag is the acting's just flat out
it's
terrible.
It's so bad.
Yeah, our protagonist is just genuinely a really, really bad actor. He's not good, and you can see that within minutes.
I suspect, I don't know if this is the case, I don't know if you guys looked it up, but I suspect that the main character is maybe the director
he's
or the writer.
He's not the director.
He's not any.
I bet he's
a
friend, though.
Yeah.
Because like the second, man, you pointed out, but the second he gets into the room with this woman, like he looks like he's never spoken to a woman.
He looks like he's never.
And this movie was written so he could do that.
It's so bizarre. He looks like the actor himself looks nervous to be talking to this girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not intentional. Like this guy is supposed to be like
just an average dude.
Well, let's not overstate this scene we're talking about, because this is the scene.
I don't want to get there just yet. I really want to talk about one thing.
But the dinner scene is
one of the very first scenes.
I know, but there's something that comes before.
We'll get to that in a second, man, but we do have to say that this dinner scene is the reason we turned the movie off.
We stopped it. This is that faded scene that we stopped the entire movie.
Which we'll get to because Manton really wants to say something.
I've said that before, but we don't do this shit chronologically anyway. But
just get it out of the way.
Well, I almost want to take this a little chronologically because it's like there's so much to talk about.
A hot fucking mess.
That'd be the chronic.
So the intro itself is absolute nonsense.
Just terrible.
And it's absolutely terrible. But shortly after that, there is a scene that Brandon mentioned where he's talking to his attorney, and the attorney, I'm just going to read what he says. He says that I hand this to you in person. And as he says the word hand, he dramatically, literally just holds this piece of paper up high and dramatically hands it to him. And then a minute later, they're going to him reading the letter, and he says, upon receiving this letter, that's what the mom is saying in the voiceover, and they cut to that exact same shot upon receiving the letter as he dramatically hands the letter. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. We just saw that. And then that was the moment where I was like, this is garbage.
The problem
garbage.
Is that the movie is so incredibly self-serious that like it believes it is making fine fucking art. And it like keeps, I don't know, putting in like all these just meaningless shots like of just like things like maggots burrowing and stuff like that.
Yes,
just in the middle of scenes.
I wrote this stuff and I was like, shots of birds and bugs do not make a scary movie.
Well, they also don't fucking thing to do
and
with anything.
Every 10 seconds there's an establishing shot. It's like, oh, here's the house. Here's the house for another angle.
Which the establishing
here's
shot
a different house.
The establishing shots are not shot by the same people.
This is exactly what I want to talk about. These shots are actually really good, and it makes the movie worse because you see these like really majestic looking, you know, like
Scotland's beautiful
outdoor scenes.
You'd be hard pressed to make Scotland look ugly.
Not only is it beautiful, but the camera is like clearly of a different, just fucking tier.
National Geographic.
And then you go from that, and then you immediately cut to the people, and it's just like it looks like it's recorded on a VHS. It's all red. It's all like orange and yellow, and then you hear them talk. It's like, wow, well, hey, this is your
letter. We're gonna inherit your mother's house.
You're just like,
you guys are trying to emulate the sound, but really you guys can go to the other corner of the room and then talk.
I should also throw my microphone on the ground and cover it in water. Yeah. I can fucking sound like these idiots.
Speaking of the other side of the room, the fucking like half these shots are the like shots of people talking are just done from the other side of the room for no reason. Like,
well, also they don't frame the people. Most of the time it's like half their head, and it's like the camera will be like at the dude's eye level and he's just like talking
and
at the camera.
They're looking off the microphone that's on the camera, so you can only hear them from the other side.
What kind of stew did you make?
It becomes the hardest to watch in... I don't want to talk about the dance scene yet because we have to talk about the dinner.
We got to do the dinner scene. Well, the dinner scene is when we stopped it, and I'll tell you the reason why. It's because this goddamn amateur actor doesn't know what to do with his hands, and on top of that, the editors don't know how to edit the fact that he doesn't know how to use his hands.
Well, they need to have a lot of cuts, Devin, it's like constantly cutting.
Multiple cuts back to this dude close up and then far away, and his hands are always in a different position, and he's always like going up to like maybe scratch like his eye, but then he like decides halfway there that
he's going to embarrass himself in front of her.
Well, it's like the director was like, dude, can you stop like touching your face or just keep your hands? And, but he like can't help it, so he starts to like go to touch his head, and then he's like, oh, just kidding. And
I'm
going to
go ahead and say this. A lot of us have been here. I know I've been here where I've been on a very awkward like date or like interaction.
Of course.
Where I'm thinking too hard about what I'm doing with my hands. That's this actor in this movie.
Which could work for that scene, except that he's supposed to be charming the pants off of her.
Right.
And she's like enamored with it.
She's talking in these really long sentences, saying,
cut, because I know if I was in a situation on a date, I would love to have that, but I just don't. I'm just going to act like I'm going to scratch
cut, man. Listen, you know what? Put your hands down. She's getting nervous.
Cut. Yeah. We need to bring the next guy in.
Just compliment her on her suit.
But this guy, they could have been like, dude, stop fucking moving your hand.
It's high school party, like 101. You're at a party. You're like, what do I do with my hands? Do I put them in my pockets? Do I hold a drink? Do I put them, you know, do I cross arm? Just fucking pick one, dude. It doesn't matter.
Why people start smoking so they have something to do with their hands. I wish he had just been smoking through this scene.
I wish he'd just been holding a knife and just like stabbing
a stress
himself.
Ball or something.
That's a funny solution, but it's true. If he had been smoking,
give him a goddamn Jimbei just fucking drum the whole time. Like anything to do with
it. It would not do anything to make the sound sound any worse. This seems like such a small thing for us to be picking on, but it is so distracting.
That's the name of the game in this movie.
Seriously, it's like, I'm not like exaggerating. It's like watching a Tim and Eric skit. I seriously felt like I was watching Tim Heidecker.
Oh, it was
like,
gold.
It is gold.
It is.
I don't know.
For a time.
Listeners, it's hard to really...
This is tough.
It's hard to say, put to words like what this looks like, but it's insane and hilarious and great.
One last point that we did stop this movie during this the first time, and we cracked up during it nonetheless, but we stopped it. So this time I was like, this is going to be disappointing now. We have all this build up to this dinner scene that we think is going to be so funny.
It was just as good. It was better.
So that's how... It held up after 5 years of anticipation.
My neck hurt from laughing. So much in the first part of this movie.
Every time it was like, that's the last one, guys. Someone's like, no, there's another thing he did with his hands. And there always was something else he did with his hands.
Every time the camera would change, his hands would be in a new position. At one point, they were like, he was just holding his head like this with his hands on either side. And the lady was just, you know, she was looking so longingly at him,
she started not knowing what to do with her hands.
Oh, God,
like, it's
contagious. Like, and Manton, like, texted. He was like, God, it is embarrassing to watch this woman act circles around him. And I was like, I don't know about act circles, but
she does.
Yeah, she's not good, but she is better.
No, she is an actor, and this guy seems like he's just some guy. And it's really, really, really clear in like one of the next scenes that one of you just talked about, the dance scene.
Well,
oh boy.
Dude, it's so clear because there are two fucking characters in this movie.
Well, okay, so the dance scene is amazing because it is absolute, utter nonsense. I get the feeling that maybe she's like in like plays and does a lot of like musicals or something.
Oh, I bet.
So she's kind of doing her thing, like dancing around this room for seemingly no reason. I don't know why.
Also
anybody
for seemingly
would ever
1 hour.
No, it
for
is
so long.
I didn't time it, but it has to be at least like six or seven minutes.
It's so awkward because the guy, the actor that's playing the main guy, is just sitting there looking embarrassed and awkward. And
yep. He's also not
so
even looking at her.
Fucking weird.
There's times where he's just staring at a random corner and the woman's just dancing along the wall.
Yeah, he's not
she, like,
looking at her, and it's like cutting. his head is in like the corner of the shot. Like, it's just like he shouldn't be there, but they didn't cut him out of the shot. Like, it's so bad.
I could forgive you if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, maybe that sounds kind of cool, like a racer head or something. You know, like those weird scenes.
No,
they wish. They really wish.
Like some awful, indie bullshit from
It's not even indie. This is like a tier below.
In my
two tears coming down my cheeks every time.
Loaded two tears.
That was pretty good.
I wrote a note, something about the poetry reading scene.
Fuck my dick.
I don't remember exactly what that was.
Which one? Poetry reading scene?
Oh my god.
There are so many of
them. When he's in class, like reading poetry to the class, that was one of the most fucking unbelievably stupid scenes I've ever seen. It reminded me of Silent Hill 2.
Oh, when Heather talks in front of the class, right. She's like, you guys go back to fucking Facebook or live.
You guys wouldn't understand me. I'm an edgelord.
Two rules, but you're talking about the movie.
The movie's game rips.
The movie, dog piss.
But, like, this scene is not the only one. Like, they keep bringing poetry in. Like, this movie has pretensions of being so fucking smart.
Oh, man.
And it is, it is so dumb.
So
the fucking owl man, the Lord of Tears, wishes he was a poet.
Can you give us
basically
some of his lines?
You morbid marionette of maggot of mortals. Like, it's just the worst.
It's nonsense.
It is fucking nonsense.
Shitteration for days.
It's just something you would have gotten off of a live journal entry. It's awful.
Yeah, don't even discredit the high schoolers like that.
No,
there's high school students that have way more talent than the people who fucking wrote this script.
Yeah.
The thing is we're talking a lot about this movie, but we're not actually talking about the movie. We're just breaking apart all the pieces of shit that compiled to make this fucking movie.
But that's what this movie is. It's a bunch of pieces that are put together that don't make sense. That's the way I remember the movie.
What about that scene where they're swimming in the pool and they're playing just like a modern pop song for no reason?
When you said the dance scene, there's another scene that's a pool scene where she walks down.
Which is right afterwards. It's like the next scene.
Like another montage type thing or whatever, like a slow motion bullshit, and it's like fun and whatever, and it's like real romantic, and then he just dunks her, and then it's all
looks like he's pushing her around to get a beach.
It looks like he's pushing her down underwater towards his crotch, and it just
and
turns
then it just
awry.
Stops.
That's the end of it.
Well, she looks way ashamed. She's like,
I can't.
So pathetic.
And
I won't
so
even.
So
like, and half the time, like we were just trying to figure out what the plot twist was in this, and we kind of figured one out basically.
Oh, we were guessing.
We thought
time.
We knew exactly what it was, and it's just a step off, except it's a step down. Like the one that we guessed is a better twist
better
this movie than the actual one that they have. And like, I will give it one eensy teensy bit of credit that once that twist hits, there's a particularly decent scare that has to do with the woman or whatever.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And it's decently well done, but then they just keep doing it.
That's the thing.
Like, they realize it worked and they just keep doing
it. Standard Lord of Tears fashion, they took one thing and they fucking stretched it out as much as they could. And then this was the one good thing they stretched out, and then they stretched out too much.
They stretched out and it was saggy and it wasn't working properly.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's like a curl asshole. It's awful.
This was some kind of.
I think we haven't really sold though that. I think we would all agree that the first half of this
first
movie,
half of this is pure fucking gold.
Reminded me of Silent Hill 2.
I want to just like point this out. Like I really didn't know what to expect from this. I had never seen a single second of it. Like you guys did. I think Brandon, did you see any of this?
Yeah, Brandon,
I was there.
You were there.
That, yeah.
So I didn't know what we were gonna get into, and I was really really dreading it.
And you had to watch it.
But
solo.
I was incredibly pleasantly surprised. For the first half of the movie, because the first half is like top tier,
it's
so
god
bad,
tier,
it's good.
Top tier trash.
It's
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. Like I was laughing so hard by myself, sick in bed, because it is fucking nonsense. And the reason why it works so much for me is like this is a movie that it's not like Sharknado and stuff. It's like let's make a bad movie, it'll be pretty funny, won't it? This is a movie where someone is
desperately
trying
to do
so
well.
so hard. But missing the mark by so much, and you can't help but just like enjoy it on like
evil.
A very
Schadenfreude or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah,
right?
It's Schadenfreude. It's like
that's a thing.
Enjoying someone else's misery, and that is what it is. And like, it's so fucking funny. The problem is that like, it's the same issue that Silent Hill 2 had, where
once our
characters stop interacting with each other, once we kind of like go to the now the character's gonna resolve the plot line.
Exactly. Yeah.
It becomes boring.
It felt like a hangover near the end of this movie. Like I was laughing so hard, and then I realized like I wasn't laughing for the last 40 minutes.
It's such a disappointment.
And I was just holding my head, and I felt terrible.
I told that to Devin. We finished the movie, walked out onto like we had like a little patio area, and Devin just looked like really defeated. He was smoking a cigarette. And I just say that, the deed is done, dude. We finished it. But, like, I was telling him, I was so surprised that we watched these movies and you have like a physical reaction to it. You feel ill after watching a movie of this fucking quality.
He was like, dude, I feel physically sick right now. Like, I have actual nausea.
Dude, it's weird.
But yeah, he just walked out. He looked me in the eyes. We didn't say a word. He said, the deed is done. We just fucking
to be fair,
it and had a drink.
To be fair, man, I'm so glad that Matt gave this to us again because, like, the first half was so fucking enjoyably awful. And then, like, it helped to realize, yes, this is one of the worst things we've ever seen by
and
the
end
of it.
And you know what? I thought about it this way. This is a real-life ghost story involving us to where we had this ghost that needed to be encountered.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
my God.
We're burying that bitch.
That's so meta.
It was years and years that we finally were like, we're going to go back and make this right. And we
did. Episode 100, baby.
That's why when he said the deed is done, I was like, it is. We're done.
I'm so glad we watched
this. This is off my shoulders now, and this will be off my shoulders forever. Bluester, put a point in before we fucking finally lay this one to rest.
Can I just go into my review with this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, please.
So this movie is just another good example, like Silent Hill, of what it takes to reach that tier where it's so bad, it's so good. You know, like Miami Connection is just like the pinnacle. Like everybody loves that, or The Room or something like that. This movie is not that because, like Matt said, the first half is super engaging.
If the first half would have been.
If we just broke it off at the dinner scene, holy shit, masterpiece. Absolute shit tier. Amazing. But this movie, it isn't that good. It isn't that incompetent. They managed to get a couple things right. And like they even tried some things and they failed so, so fucking hard. One thing that we didn't talk a lot about is that like this dude is not only uncomfortable and you can feel it like watching the movie, you feel uncomfortable watching it, but he's also just a weird kind of gross looking dude.
He's not a good looking guy. He's not camera friendly.
Exactly. He's balding and they constantly put his bald spot in the camera.
They really do.
Nothing against people who are balding, dude. That's fine. But you need to tell your camera people not to just zoom in on it every time you're talking to some beautiful woman.
Crying face. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Don't make me Dylan, stop. I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick thinking about it. But every time you're watching the screen for too long, you start to get a little, your stomach starts to turn a little bit. Not because you're scared, because you just feel sick looking at the people interact. And I was praying for the moment the movie would end because I just could not take any more. So I wanted this movie to be good. I wanted it to be great. And it hit some high notes, but it just wasn't consistent enough. This one's a stinky pooper. Sorry, Matt.
I mean, we all wanted to love it. We gave it the biggest chance we could when we had a group of people.
We cranked the sound up to 100. We were fucking watching
and watch it with a high
We
hope.
Got the neighbors mad at us watching this one and laughing so hard.
Yes, that is true. But I'm saying the initial time we cranked it up on a projector screen. We all gave it, we all had high hopes. This is my review.
Yours is a stinker, right?
So we gave it.
I said stinky pooper.
He did say stinky pooper.
My apologies.
So we gave it the benefit of that, and if that's not enough, then it's just not enough. So I don't feel terrible kind of ripping into it. I will say this guy, whoever directed it, don't know his name, he had high aspirations. Good for him. He's very
Not make a good movie.
I mean, yeah, it certainly doesn't make a good movie, but he did. He shot for the stars and he made it very serious. But I've always said, like, to make a good horror movie is difficult, but to make a scary horror movie is more difficult. I think this guy was trying to make a scary fucking horror movie. And he had some moments in the second half that we didn't really talk on too much. I think it's fair that we do a little bit that were pretty spooky. There were some scenes that I thought were pretty good.
7 seconds.
Yes. Well, 7 seconds, and they use it a little bit more, and I was like, that's pretty cool. So there's parts of this that I thought were pretty admirable. I will say that right now. But overall, it was just too amateur. It was too independent, and I use those. I shouldn't use those as liberally, but there was too much that was amateur about this for me to even come close to liking it. The acting was atrocious. The sound editing was atrocious. But I liked where this guy's head was at, if that makes any sense at all. I've never really been this way on a movie this bad, but it is an absolute stinker for sure. And I would actually recommend it just because it's so fucking weird and it's just an anomaly to me. So maybe check it out. I don't know, but it's a stinker. What do you think, Dylan?
Devin's being way too kind to this movie. This is fucking bottom of the barrel dog shit tier.
I think you called it a garbage fire.
It is a garbage fire.
It's not good.
It's a garbage fire in that, like, you just can't look away. Like, and for the first part, man, that works. You're like warming yourself by the warmth of this garbage fire, just enjoying that how bad this turned out to be, and like how you realize that somebody put their heart into this and that they just fucked up in every conceivable way. And it's really good for that. Like, it's a super enjoyable one on the level of like Things or even American Ghost Story. Like, it gets vibes like that.
Yeah.
But it's just dog shit near the second half. You realize, like, this guy cannot sustain this because he is a hack and he is not talented. And I don't care if he hears me on this one, because this is another one of those instances, like American Ghost Story, where this person got onto, like, IMDb and inflated all the reviews of this. So this has good reviews on IMDb, despite objectively being just awful. And it's got good reviews from, like, aggregator sites that you might trust. I am convinced they were paid, because nobody in their right fucking mind would have given this the time of day.
Shots
this
fired.
Movie is awful. It is about on the same tier as Student Bodies. I don't know that it's worse, but it is contending for that. It's really fucking bad.
Maybe in quality. Maybe that's where I still don't think Student Bodies is nearly as bad as you say.
Yeah, that movie is trash. But
Student Bodies is at least competent in its trash.
The amount of like enjoyment we got, I think that I would
feel still rather watch this than Student
this
Bodies.
This movie, we had a shit ton of laughs.
At least the first half.
So I gotta give it that.
But it's so fucking bad.
Open up that bag of sperm. Let's go.
Ew.
Wow.
I'll take it. Pass it over here.
Manton?
On that note. Yeah, this movie was such a pleasant surprise at first, and I was ready to give this a gem of the highest order. I was ready to just, like, laud this movie, because it is so fucking funny. For
an ironic gem.
Yeah, but a gem,
but
nonetheless.
Like,
I mean,
like House of the Dead.
My thought about, like, how I review movies is, like, did I enjoy it or did I get something out of it? And, you know, I definitely got something out of this at first. But it starts to just completely drop because, again, like, a lot of the humor in the beginning comes from watching these people interact. And once that's kind of gone, it starts to just drop into the boredom territory, which is, like, the worst place for you to go, in my opinion. That being said, I do kind of agree with Devin. I think that, like, I do honestly think that this person has, like, vision and artistry. And there's a lot that was probably going through this
save
person's
it for your
head
creative writing class.
That I think is, like, turn. Potentially interesting. The problem is that the people involved with making this movie didn't have the talent to bring that forward. And it makes me think of a movie like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Primer. It's a movie like very, very, very low budget.
Primer's fucking
I would
great.
Say probably on the same level as this, or at least close. But that movie's phenomenal because it's very smart and it's very well done, but it doesn't overreach what it knows it can grasp.
Right.
And this movie does to a degree that is insane. This is a movie by someone that I thinks of themselves sort of as a Stanley Kubrick, and they're not. They're nowhere close. And maybe that's because they're still an amateur or whatever. But the point is, the beginning of this movie, if you like So Bad It's Good, you owe it to yourself.
It's a fucking smorgasbord.
You owe it to yourself to check it out because it's fucking hilarious. It is definitely worth a watch. Unfortunately, I have to give it a stinker because it's not. It doesn't reach those upper tiers. It doesn't. The second half falls flat, and it's such a huge disappointment from the first half.
Just real quick, I just want to review Manton's review, Jim, and I want to thank you for all the imagery you gave me. Lots of poop related imagery.
Stop.
You said pull something out.
I'm gonna stop you right you now. Said, I'm let it stop you right now.
You said let it drop.
I'm going to stop you right now.
You said reach around,
Blutster. I'm going to stop you right now.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and review Blutster's review of that review.
How'd I do?
Absolute stinker. Get this guy off the cast immediately. You're a piece of shit.
100 episodes, and then we get somebody new.
Devin, and all
be my guest and review me.
It's all right. It's a light gym.
Light gym.
In my language, those were all compliments.
Didn't really put enough into that, buddy.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so what would you give it?
I would give it a stinker.
But he did see the artistry. You know, he could see that there was things there that you could work with.
It was simple. It was concise. It's a gem.
Straight to the point. Doesn't try too hard. That's great. It's a gem. Let's talk about another movie, though, and a real review.
A real movie.
Wow, a real movie. Finally.
But this is called Hush from this year. I think it was kind of a Netflix darling in the horror genre to some extent.
It's been trending on there for a while.
Yes, by kind of an up-and-coming director, Mike Flanagan, who's notable for Absentia and then Oculus and now Hush. He's got his name out there for rumors of remakes of big-time films. I like this guy.
Specifically what?
Halloween was the first one, but now I think we believe that our boy Adam Wingard is going to be doing that. That will be Adam Wingard of Your Next Fame and Blair Witch, which will be coming out next week, which we'll be reviewing for our next episode with probably the Blair Witch director, known as Eduardo Sanchez. Sorry, tangent. Whew.
Oh.
But yes, let's get into this fucking movie. Mike Flanagan's Hush. Manton, who gave this to us, and what's it about?
Hush. Let's see who gave this to us. This was Kelsey Proud of You Sweeties.
Kelsey Proud of You Sweeties.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So this is Hush 2016. Yeah, so very recent. I had originally watched Oculus with Devin, and I wasn't that
I'm not crazy into it.
It was
it.
All right, but I wasn't really sure what to expect out of this. So this movie starts out, we've got a woman who is a writer, and she also happens to be deaf. She's cooking dinner, she's kind of doing her thing. One of her friends, Sarah, says, "Hey, what are you up to? I'm going to stop by and talk to you." So her friend Sarah shows up, and it turns out she's Red. What is our main character's name again?
Maddie.
Drawing a blank. Maddie, yeah. She's read Maddie's book. So Maddie's like, I guess, writes maybe some sort of like horror fiction, it seems like, maybe.
Based on mystery or something.
It's hard drama or something.
Yeah. So she's read her book, and she's really impressed with it, and she's telling Maddie about how she's learning sign language, and she's like, "Yeah, I know you can read lips, but I wanted to kind of learn this for you." So you get the feeling that they're pretty close friends.
What an immediately likable character.
Oh, everyone is immediately likable in this movie, I would say. So yeah, they're kind of talking, and Maddie is saying that she's having trouble finishing her book, her newest book. She can't think of an ending. She's really struggling with this. So Sarah heads back to her house. Maddie's doing her thing, writing. Out of nowhere, and on the side of the screen, we see Sarah pounding on Maddie's door, and she's screaming for her. Obviously, Maddie doesn't hear this. And Sarah's being murdered by a mass killer. And from that point on, we're going to see how does Maddie deal with this killer that she can't hear.
So it's basically a home invasion film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With a deaf protagonist, which is awesome.
One of the simplest setups to a home invasion
cool.
I've ever seen.
It's also that. Really quick. And also, quick. I want to make note that that scene I thought was pretty horrifying.
Oh, God,
pretty
yeah.
horrible.
The stabbing goes on forever.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, the stabbing scene is absolutely
savage.
Brutal.
It's,
yeah.
it's hard
it's
to
awful,
watch.
It's awful. But
yeah.
And there's a few scenes that come after that are hard to watch. And one thing I like about this guy, Mike Flanagan, he doesn't shy away from gore.
Yeah, he really does. Even Oculus.
Yeah.
Like the stuff with the eating the plates or whatever. Yeah. Like, that shit was awful.
Eating the light
bulbs. I thought of you when I saw that.
And I wanted to say that Mike Flanagan... I rewatched Oculus yeah. recently, and I was in the same boat. I think I got Babadook the first time. I really enjoyed it on the rewatch. You guys should try it out again.
I just rewatched it recently too. I was I'm
really
still, the same.
But
yeah.
I but I saw Absentia
it's fine. It's
as well.
Bad.
I've never
it's
seen all. It. It sucks.
I think it's good stuff. I think it's good stuff. And I think this guy really is on a great trajectory.
He's talented.
Yes.
But yeah, that first scene is horrifying. It's a home invasion. We have one protagonist who is deaf and one killer. Who is obviously not, and it's and that's in itself is so interesting.
Well, I mean, speaking of interesting, you know, we've set up that this character has, you know, she's unique in that way, but they kind of build up to that. She's in the kitchen preparing like a very exotic dinner, which I want to point out is weird because it's like pork chops and this huge spread. It seems like a dinner for a date, and
it
she doesn't
does.
Have a date.
Yeah.
So
I get the sense that maybe she was like practicing or learning.
I think so too.
Think
yeah.
so too
it did, like vibes of her like kind of trying to.
She's
meet
got an
people.
Ex that they
yeah.
like are briefly.
Anyway, anyway,
she mentions
I don't
being
wanna,
on a dating site.
Yeah, yeah I don't want to talk too much about
actually,
her dating
that seems
life.
Really
whatever.
Funny.
But anyway, in that scene, she's preparing the meal and everything, and they're using the way they like amplify the sound there. Everything is very like you know guttural and juicy and hard, and like all the sound is very. It's almost kind of like Tim and Eric esque, but it's like. It becomes an element of the scene.
Well,
which
they're trying
cool.
to get across, you know, what sound actually sounds like because
right.
you take it for granted, and that's one of the I think brilliant things about this movie
yeah.
is that they give the protagonist a very like debilitating disability in this particular instance, and like all the things that it makes you think about differently with what is just a standard, you know, bog standard home invasion, like it changes everything that she can't hear.
It changes
what's
the
going
dynamic
on.
Entirely because our guy, she like her friend is pounding on the window. She's trying to get in.
She's right there.
She
right
doesn't fucking
hear
it. The yeah. dude's. Slaughters her right in front of her. She doesn't even hear it. And then eventually, you know, she's working on her book. She's working on her seven endings. And the guy starts to creep in.
God, that opening of when he first is introduced is so good.
He's just like behind her. And he's just walking around her kitchen doing whatever the hell he wants. And she doesn't fucking hear it. I'm like,
yeah,
look back, girl. Turn around.
It's real tense.
I love how charismatic our killer is kind of too.
Yeah. yeah. You know who he is?
Creepy kind of way. Who is he?
10 Cloverfield Lane. He's Emmett.
No,
yeah. He's the other guy in
that's
the bomb
so
shelter.
Good.
Yeah. I love the way that he's introduced too, because after he kills her friend Sarah, he starts like tapping on the glass and he's tapping louder and louder and louder.
Like he
and
wants like, to be seen.
You can immediately sense a lot about who he is and his personality from the way that he's like figuring out that she's deaf.
Which like props to this dude, like this actor who as Emmett was incredibly likable in 10 Cloverfield yeah. Lane, such a good character. And in this one is a fucking scumbag, like just
horrible.
Utterly
yeah,
reprehensible,
also disgusting.
And
yeah.
You hate him from the first moment, but he's magnetic.
He's
like,
very
really
vocal.
Good.
And one of the scenes that was very chilling to me in the first part was she was writing notes essentially through the window saying like, "Get out of here!"
Like
my boyfriend's coming, and then she said like. Yeah, I won't tell.
Haven't seen face,
I haven't
won't
seen
tell.
Your face, and then he just rips his mask off and says, like, well, now you've seen my face.
I did so not I guess, expect that. Like, yeah. When he goes to take his mask off, I was like, holy shit, he's taking his
so
mask off.
So you went
off.
From a mask killer to
psychopath.
An unmasked killer
because
in one
I
movie.
I don't know if you guys did this, but while I was watching this, I was like, oh, man, I was trying to think, like, oh, maybe this is her ex. Maybe
right,
this
yeah.
is, like, the husband.
They quickly,
yeah. he
I was
quickly
thinking
takes
that as well.
His mask
yeah.
off, right. and you're like, all right.
And it's just a random guy.
It's just a guy who likes killing people.
And this is no spoiler because this part happens, like, 20 minutes in.
It's like, not even. Not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, it's very quick. But this guy has some interactions that are chilling, and they're very vocal interactions.
Oh,
they're,
God, the bit with the body on the window?
Oh,
ew.
That, I want to mention oh, that. Yeah. One of the most chilling scenes I've seen in this film, and I'm not going to say too much, or that I've seen in recent film history, involves a tapping on the window, because you guys kept talking about tapping on the window, but there's a certain kind of tapping on a bedroom window that
yeah.
to me, like, actually
oh, that,
gave
that
me
scene, yeah, made
chills
my stomach
up
lurch.
And down, and it was disgusting, yeah. and I had never seen anything like it, and I was like, kudos to motherfucking you, Mike Flanagan, or whoever the fuck thought that freak show
kudos
up.
Kudos straight up to just the acting in general in this movie.
Right.
Like, our main character, Maddie, doesn't
she's
say
great.
A word, obviously, because she's deaf-mute. She's really good. Like, a really identifiable heroine and, like, has a whole lot of emotion just in, you know, the thing she's doing. Not, I mean, she doesn't have any lines, basically. I think she's really good.
Yeah, because she's also mute, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. she's deaf and mute. So it's cool to see kind of how she, I guess, changes as it evolves.
Like. So something that I enjoyed about this movie is, like, the pace is really, really good.
Lightning
especially
fast.
This has been done. Like, we have so many
oh, yeah.
movies that are like this, but
the
this movie's paced
them.
So well. And I thought it was kind of funny because Oculus, I think one of my complaints
yep.
with that
yeah,
movie is that
exactly.
like it was a short story that was stretched so
yep.
thin. But ironically, this is an even simpler premise. But they somehow managed to make it interesting every moment of the way.
Absolutely.
And I think a huge part of that is, like, you know, in Year Next we have Aaron, who is like a secret killer that we just don't know about. This movie I really like for the element of we watch her grow. She has no clue what she's fucking doing, like trying to fight this guy off. Like, there's a great scene of her for a very, very long time trying to, like, load a bow.
Oh, Jesus,
and she just can't
yeah.
do it. And you're like, yeah, I couldn't fucking do that either. Like, and even the killer's like, yeah, it's fucking hard. See,
I love
and,
that.
And it's a great moment. And later on in the movie, you know, when you're starting to say, like, okay, maybe this is gonna start dragging, another character shows up, and there's some great interactions
yeah,
between
yeah, that,
the,
those scenes are really good.
The killer and this person, that's like my favorite scene.
I hate
the
that
movie.
Scene,
it's
but
so
I hate
tense.
It that I love it because I hate it because it's so chilling and,
yeah,
and fucked up and
yeah,
tense,
yeah.
And the way it ends is so fucking
it's,
heartbreaking
yeah,
and
that's
awful.
Hard.
Yeah,
and the
that's
guy,
the thing, this movie is. Rough.
And, yeah, and all the meanwhile, our killer is so, like, talkative and vocal and charismatic about everything that happened. So, like, you're watching the roughest shit, and he'll just talk about it in the most nonchalant, like, dude, relax, chill out, man, it's done. Like, we're done here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of, like, it chills you to the bone because this guy doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
I really like that scene where we have another character come in and they have an interaction. And I'm not going to give any details, but I was talking to Manton before this, and that scene almost kind of sets you up to misinterpret something that happens later. She's in a very similar situation and you don't know how it's going to end
right.
for her
yeah.
or how she's going to get out of it. And so, like, because of that scene earlier, I have, like, this expectation and I'm scared. I'm really scared
it
for her.
It sets the stakes, too. Like, this movie pulls no punches. It
it's
is
pretty
surprisingly
savage.
Like,
yeah.
And I think that works really well for it. Like, in a lot of cases, it would feel exploitative, but in this one, it feels, like, genuinely because they've set this killer up to just be off. Fucking horrible person.
Plus, I think it's because it's very focused. I mean, we
and
only have a few people, so it's not like he's just, like, savagely slaughtering everything.
And all they needed to do, and I don't know if it's any bit of a spoiler, but at some point you see his crossbow, the one that he's using, and it's just a slight aside, but it's got, like, numbers notched on it.
Yeah.
And that's all
yeah.
I needed to understand, Jesus Christ, this guy's fucked up.
No, I yeah. like that, yeah. So, we've talked a lot about how much we love this. I want to say some things that I didn't like
sure.
about this movie. And so, we talked about how it's a home invasion, and the dude comes in really early. Well, at a certain point in the movie, he decides that he won't come in until she's ready to die, is what he says, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Until she welcomes it, basically.
Right, and so he like, torments her and tortures her, which is great, but for me, like, it released a lot of the tension that was so perfect when we first meet him,
right.
because, like, there's this rule now that we're going to follow.
Yeah, there's just this unwritten understanding that he's not going to come in, and so that is a little weird, but they do kind of turn that on its head a little bit with, like, bringing the action outside every now and
no,
then.
No, sure.
They switch it up enough, and the movie's paced, like, so like, spring tight. Like, it's coiled so well that, like, I don't feel like it drags on too much. But
I don't
want to
say that.
I do feel like that line is sort of, like, misleading because he's locked out of the house. Like, we see many
right.
times him
trying
to open
in.
The
yeah.
door. And if he had just not said that line, I think it would have worked better because it sucks because that is a great line. The way he says it is so chilling at first, but then you're like, well, Yeah, it does. It does kind of cut some of the tension.
And I think that for me, like, I was fucking loving. I was gushing over the way that he was interacting with her when she didn't know he was there. And I wish they had just kind of like maybe let that tension ride a little more. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it would have gotten old. But as soon as he said that, as soon as he goes outside, I was like, I wanted to see what was happening. I wasn't bored, but I just wasn't scared anymore.
I will say also that near that middle part, which I think is the weaker part of this movie, near that middle part, which isn't really that long, part is not, you know, a bad thing at all. But they, for like a little while there, seem to forget that she's deaf. Like there's a slight kind of lull there where they're not doing anything with that concept, which is, I think, where this movie is the strongest, is when it is like making you understand how weak the protagonist feels. And so it just kind of feels like a rote home invasion movie at that point. It quickly comes back. But
I think it's because they did those elements so well at the very, very beginning that we had like the highest possible bar that they had to follow.
Well, I think the moment where it hits its stride again is where they introduce that third character. And then you're like, oh, fuck.
Definitely.
There's a pseudo kind of fourth character that she mentions that she has like this internal dialogue constantly going when she's writing. Yeah. And I loved when they started using that. And I was like, you know what? I would have taken more of that too. Yeah. Like, I wish they'd used more of that.
There's
the movie.
A few things like that. There's also a cue that has like this home invasion, not a home invasion system, but like a fucking
fire alarm
system.
Yeah.
That,
oh
like,
yeah.
Was
that was
like,
cool.
That's definitely going to come into play.
It is. And it's well implemented.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's nearly as well implemented as it. And also I think it was so in your face. Like it was so in your face that when I saw it, I was like, I get it. That's going to be used.
When that came up though, that it reminded me of, I can't remember who we were talking about it at one point when we were at one of our, you know, get-togethers or whatever, and we were saying like, "Well, that's going to come back and play." That's going to come back and play. And like, how do you know that? And I was thinking, you know what? A lot of people who don't watch a lot of horror movies might not see that.
That's
foreshadowing
true.
You don't think about that stuff. This one, I think, was for the masses, the Netflix masses. For sure. So that's excusable. But for me, yeah, I was just like, "Ooh, that's going to happen." And then honestly, if I'm getting into my reviews, I think it gets a little gimmicky towards the end. I'm not super into the gimmicks that kind of come at the end of the film. That part kind of like, I was like, "Ugh." Kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Talk about the breath thing.
A lot of stuff. Lot of stuff. I think the whole like shtick they went with the writing thing kind of came into play pretty hard at the end that I was not super into. I don't want to talk about it too much, but...
It could be clumsier. I'm actually okay with the way
it could be clumsier, but I don't think it
could
wasn't...
Be better,
I don't
could
think
be
it, better. I don't think it wasn't clumsy.
Sure.
I think it was definitely in your face. But otherwise, I think it was an otherwise gritty... Pretty gritty horror movie for 2016.
Really gritty, actually.
But 2016, you don't see that very often unless it's some weird fucking bullshit like Rob Zombie or like a French film.
Lord of Tears.
Yeah, or Lord of Tears, of course. But for a fucking American up-and-coming director on Netflix, this is a gritty-ass horror movie, right? I feel like somebody could just put this on by accident and be like, God damn.
At the same time, though, I think it works for like mass appeal, too. Like, it is brutal, but it is like... understandably brutal. It doesn't feel exploitative at any
Hopefully
point.
Hopefully it's the perfect marriage, and that's what we need right now. I think this might be the best. I've been thinking about this forever now. I don't want to get too into this wormhole, but I think that we might be in the best decade of horror movies since
introduction,
like
horror introductions.
No, I think 70s and 80s in general.
In general.
I think the 70s and 80s are like kind of hard to touch, but I think we might be in the best decade. Other than that,
it's only looking up.
We're getting good, and we got Blair Witch coming up right now. We got we still have to see a film about a blind.
Don't Breathe, dude.
Don't breathe. But yeah, we're looking good here. But let's go ahead and wrap it up before we talk too much and talk about Hush. Bluester, what are your final thoughts on it?
So I just want to say thanks, Kels, for recommending this. She actually watched this with her friend, and she was telling me about it. She's like, it's so super scary, so super tense. I want you all to watch this. And I was like, you know, whatever. It's a Netflix movie. Those can be really, really hit or miss.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. This movie is a gem for me. I thought it was I appreciate very tight, very simple, very straightforward movies. Like... Lord of Tears, you can try a lot of things and you can really fall flat on your dick and just break your dick off. And you don't want to do that all the time. You know, sometimes you need to be able to pee, man. And I appreciate this movie for the things that they did very well. And I think that this movie did so well at certain elements, particularly at the very beginning, that it actually set you up your expectations too high for the middle and some of the portions of the end. So I say this movie's inconsistent. It's not without flaws. But I think overall it looks good. It's very enjoyable. And it's such a short and fast-paced movie that you would be hard-pressed to put this on and not watch it to the end. It's not going to be a Lord of Tears where you get 20 minutes in and you need to turn it off. So
yeah,
I think this is an absolute gem, especially a Netflix gem. If you have Netflix, go watch this right now. It's like a little over an hour, and I think you will not be disappointed.
Dylan.
This isn't like the three course meal you get out of some movies, like the, no. the wonderful, you know, I don't know, you know, super nice meal, but you get like, it's a really fucking good hamburger. Like this movie is just real quick.
They cooked it perfectly.
It's done really well. It's not without its flaws. Like it could be something nicer, but it's not concerned with doing that. It's concerned with making just a really effective, simple little horror movie.
Like
and
that.
For that, it's good. This is a really good movie. It is, I think my thing that I like the most out of it, aside from the acting, which I think is just pretty stellar across the board, is how brutal it is. Like this movie doesn't fuck around, and it served very well for that. There are some very cringe inducing parts to this movie,
definitely,
but they're worth every bit that you're watching. I really like it. It's a gem.
Manton,
I think I don't have a whole lot to say that you guys haven't already said. This movie is really, really good, and I think you guys were touching on the mass appeal of this, and I would definitely agree. Like, strangely, I would say that this is a movie that if I was going to recommend someone that doesn't normally watch a lot of horror, this would be it. And I think the reason there is that the characters are so likable and the scenario is so immediately understandable. There's no like there's no conception of like, oh, you need to watch other horror movies to understand
for sure.
this, to make it
true,
to make the humor work or whatever. Anybody could watch this and get it. So on that note, I'm going to give it a pretty strong gem. I thought this movie was great. I didn't really love the ending. I was a little disappointed.
I'm with you there.
The last like 15 minutes, I was a little disappointed with. But it's as far as Home Invasion goes, this is up there for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a gem.
Yeah, my last review is similar to...
Last review ever?
Last
you
review
finally
ever,
off
guys.
This fucking 100, cast?
It's oh, been 100
God.
Episodes, boys.
Get
Winster,
out.
Manton, Dylan,
I'll give you one last knee rub.
No,
Devin, come on, buddy.
Here, my
rub
knee's
it.
Right here.
No, you rub me.
I'll rub your knee?
Jesus
this guy said,
Christ.
I'll give you one last
and just...
knee rub, and he expected me to rub his knee. Fuck that.
I put my knee up on the chair.
Oh,
it's ready
God.
To go.
He went halfway for
I'm
it.
I'm with Dylan
it.
Here. I think that I love his analogy of a fucking beautiful entree to a hamburger, because this movie doesn't try too hard. It knows exactly what it is. It's a very nice little capsule of a horror film, and it does it to a T to the most part. I think there's some issues with the ending the way that Manton does. But yeah, I'm on board with Dylan here, man. It's a good hamburger. It's a goddamn good hamburger. It's the kind of hamburger place that you have in town that you go back to every few weeks, because you know every time you go, it's going to be a solid bite. But it's a gem for me, for sure. Check it out. It's on Netflix still,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's Mike Flanagan, guys. Keep your eyes on him.
Yeah.
He's got some good stuff.
I didn't care for Oculus that much, but I'm liking what
but
I'm seeing.
But I'm sure you at least, even when
he's talented.
I saw
he's talented.
Even when I saw Oculus, I was like, I'm excited to see what he does next.
Because it's one before that was like a pretty indie-ass movie.
We need
so
to see that.
He's going up. I've actually seen it. It's okay. But anyway, let's wrap it up. Before we do that, I want to do a game. I also want to say one more time, I got to reiterate this, guys. Next week, we're going to be talking about Blair Witch, which is
Daddy
by
Horny.
Our darling, who I think is actually the best. I think we might all agree here, the best up-and-comer, if not already made it, in Adam Wingard.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Eduardo Sanchez. I'm like, he's not
well,
an up-and-comer.
No. Adam Wingard is the director of Blair Witch,
new one, yeah.
Written by Simon Barrett, his cohort.
God, fuck, damn, that's
so
awesome.
Check that out, guys. Next week, see it in theaters, and then join us for that podcast. We're going to have Eduardo Sanchez, the director of The Blair Witch Project, also executive producer of the new film Blair Witch. So check that out. That'll be fun as fuck. I hope you guys are excited about that, because
you know
I am.
It.
All right, awesome. Well, let's get a game in here. The game's going to be the original review game where we get to get reviews that shit on the movies you guys talked about.
All right.
Are you guys actually
going to
talk about
it's been a while since we've done this one.
Been
it
a
has
while.
Been a while. Oh,
nice,
God.
Dude.
We got to absolutely retire
that.
Retire that one.
No.
But yeah, it has been a while. Anybody?
I got it out of my system.
All right. So we're going to first talk about, I guess the first one we did was
can
it Curse
can
the Demon?
I just say that I do miss like learning about you having a seizure in Full House and
dude, Manton,
and
the Manton
Digimon
actually
chat
made
boards.
Me reiterate those to him, and mm-hmm. I was
the stuff he told us for his birthday episode last episode.
Oh no, that was Corey. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What?
I was driving.
You need to listen to our previous episode.
No,
man.
Why would I?
I've been in a fucking haze these past few days. I was driving home with Corey yesterday, and I told him about that game, and he made me reiterate some of
Devin's
the facts.
Devin's life is embarrassing. Is what it boils
just,
down to.
Just trying to remember them. I had repressed them already.
All right, so we're talking about Curse the Demon first. That was the first one we did, right? Chronologically?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so number one, I love old movies. I love slow-paced movies. I love black and white movies. I love English movies, but I hated this movie. That's the first one.
Beautiful.
Number two, this is a movie that has certain historical value, but it's not. But it's really not that great to watch this day and age.
Man.
Those are the first two. There was not much
other than those kind of reviews that shat on it too much, but those are the two that I got.
People are dainty when they shit on old movies.
But which one do you think it is, guys? The way the review games work, I forgot this one. I got to tell the listeners that might be new, but I have two reviews. One is for the pertinent film like Curse of the Demon, and one is for a very random one that will not be it, and these guys should decide which one's for the pertinent film, which one's not. Blooster, which one do you think is for Curse of the Demon, number one or number two?
Oh, well, you know I like number two.
I know you like
number
two. And
why is that, Blister? Did you care to explain that?
It's warm and meaty.
Okay, it's saucy. All right, Dylan, what do you think?
I want to say number one, actually, because they mention it being English as well as all those other things, and this one was, I think. So, all
right.
It's good enough for me.
I think the first one's trying to throw us off a bit, so could I'm going to say number two.
They were actually reviewing an English muffin. Sorry, buddy.
Wow, they were reviewing an English muffin. No, the first one is for Curse the Demon.
Yeah, boy.
Number two is for Cat People.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Cat People Fuck.
Oh, Scat People. So I was right. Scat People, number two.
Yeah, Scat People.
Now there's Cat People and Dog Soldiers.
We're going to talk. Lord of Tears, number one. Wonderfully
are
movie.
There any good reviews? Oh, wait, there are. They're from
movie,
the
movie gothic horror. Absolutely brilliant.
Written by the director.
Number two, the film is nothing less than a masterpiece.
Written by the director.
It just encapsulates the best of everything involved in movie making.
Written by the director.
All right. Number one, wonderfully moody gothic horror. Absolutely brilliant. Number two, this film is nothing less than a masterpiece. It just encapsulates the best of everything involved in movie making. What do you think, Dylan?
It serves as a how-to of not to make a movie. I want to say the first one because I think that the director was going for moody gothic horror.
Yeah.
And so that sounds like something that he would write.
Okay.
Because he did.
Manton.
I fucking refuse to believe that the second one is about this movie unless it's ironic. But I'm going to say that it's number one.
All right. What do you say, Bluchster?
So normally in this case, I would follow these guys because I trust them for some reason. But... as much as I think that's the right answer, I want to go with two because, like
it's
Dylan
poop.
Saying,
you said it was long and hard.
No.
What was your
like?
Thing?
Like Dylan's saying, the director probably envisions himself as an artiste. He understands movie making and fine cinema. So that's I feel like he would write that.
It is number one.
Hey.
Damn it! Number two is for Frankenstein from 1931.
Frankenstein's dope.
Yeah,
he's also got a boss hog.
All right.
You love monster dicks.
All right,
that should be the spinoff podcast.
Nothing gets me more turned. I'm gonna review each Universal Monsters.
Jesus, Dracula, old and dried up. Mummy, old and dried up.
Here we go. Next one's for Hush.
Boss Hog.
I don't know what this means, but it says number one is you quote people. IMDb restricted my other word. On the first three review pages.
I bet
pages,
it was a racial slur. Yeah,
with your beautiful, perfect, refreshing, the best. Get real. It's obvious you're working for the movie company who created this shitty horror movie. Oh, it also ends by saying Mr. Sneaky Man out. His name is Mr. Sneaky Man.
Brandon, what is it when you let a sneaky man out?
Yeah, what's letting a sneaky man out, if you were to explain?
What?
What? You mean sneaky like, man out?
What does that mean to
when,
me?
When you say sneaky man out, what are you talking about?
Yeah, when you say Mr. Sneaky Man out, what does that mean to you?
Sneaky man, it's when you, you're trying to get a discreet fart out and it's actually just poop.
Mr. Sneaky Man out.
Like Devin, he was at the camp and he's like, he shit his pants on the chair. He's like, guys, if you smell something, it's not me.
Wait, did this happen?
Yeah, Mr. Sneaky Man out.
He's like, I just played it off and I just sat in the puddle of my shit.
Oh, no, you're talking
that was
about
a fake one, wasn't it?
No, that was a lock-in.
Oh, that was real. You did shit your pants at a lock-in. Playing 64.
He was at like a camp I was at this summer. Like, I shit myself.
He was literally locked into a building with shit pants.
You shouldn't shit your pants. It's where you're locked into the fucking
he's
building.
Literally locked into his shitty pants.
Let me out of here. I shit myself.
Guys, I'm going to leave.
Sorry, once the door closes.
I need to leave. No reason in particular, but I really got to go.
Bathrooms are locked. You're locked out of the bathrooms, locked into this room. All right, Sneaky Man's in. We're back
Mr.
in.
Mr. Sneaky Man, out.
Because the second review is a boring, overrated B-horror/thriller flick. Number one is... You people, IMDb restricted my other word on the first three review pages with your beautiful, perfect, refreshing, the best. Get real! It's obviously written by the filmmakers and the company who created this shitty horror movie, Mr. Sneaky Man Out.
Drop mic.
And then a boring, overrated B-horror/thriller flick. What do you think, Manton?
You're not very sneaky if you have to announce that you're out, but... I'm going to go with Mr. Sneaky Man. I think he's a real pile of shit, and I think it's a shit review, number one.
What do you think, Less Sneaky Man, Bluster?
Oh, thanks, buddy. I'll take that as a compliment. So normally I would follow Stinky Man to my grave, but I don't know what he's saying, so I'm gonna keep up with the train here. I'm gonna go number two again.
Sneaky right. Man is a piece of shit, but I'm gonna have to go with number two.
It is a number two.
Hey, three for three, baby.
Do you finally think he literally used like a racial epithet?
I think he probably did, yeah.
Review?
You know old Sneaky Man, classic Sneaky
so
Man.
So mad.
What was the movie for?
It was for Oculus.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Because it did get solid reviews.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, both.
Hey, Sneaky Man, he's right.
Sneaky Man.
Now you guys are on board with Mr. Sneaky Man.
Mr. Sneaky Man.
He's a horrific racist, bro.
He's a racist, terrible man, and he's not sneaky about that. But you know what? We're going to wrap it up here. First, I want to say we're on die. iTunes. Yeah, we've been coughing.
We made it 100 episodes, but we're going to die tonight.
Yeah.
All these new people are going to listen. They're going to be like, this is horse shit. They're coughing.
Just
and
dying. Yeah, I think we all sound a little bit off except for Dylan's pristine voice.
I'm beautiful.
His voice is always good to go. But we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Add us there. We're on email and Twitter. We're on Patreon. This is our Patreon episode. If you want to hear us talk about films the way we talked about these ones, I don't know why you would.
Six.
But just throw up $6, literally throw up $6.66 towards us on our Patreon, Horrible Podcast. And you can get on that list. And if you have the Horrible Crew, thanks for listening and stay spooky.
For 100 episodes.
We might all die. This might be the last one. We're dying. 100. See you next week.
Bye, I'm dead.
That was your little sneaky man, wasn't it?
Oh, God.
It's been a while since I could hold my